Welcome to Spirit Mornings with Bruce McGregor and
Chris McGregor.
And in studio with us again today,
Teresa Monahan. Can't get rid of me.
Don't want to.
Don't want to. Thank you. Not at all.
You're so kind to me.
We love you so much. And for it seems appropriate. And no, it's so apropos that today you are here. Did you move your coffee
cup? Yes, I did.
Okay. Jim Carroll, that's okay. Her coffee's in her hands.
She's going to give it up for Lent. She promises.
No. But today, of course, is a great Feast of Our Lady of Lourdes. And I just think we need to go back, especially since we have so many new listeners and we're hearing from all of you. we know you're
Thank
out there.
You.
And many non-Catholic listeners. Mm-hmm. And I think we just need to, just real quick, when we're about to enter into discussion about Mary, especially on such a Marian day, what it is that we as Catholics truly love about her and understand about her. And I'll just do this, a quick Mary catechism real quick. First, just a side note, it drives me nuts, especially even when Catholics say, I don't get that Mary thing.
Mm. Oh! I wonder what his, her son thinks of that.
Oh, I mean, it's just like, oh, you hurt
Excuse
me.
Excuse me, that's my mother you're talking
that's
about?
That's exactly right. I mean, to say that says a lot about, even as Catholics, we don't understand what the Church teaches anymore. And what the Gospels, what our Lord taught us about his mother, more so than anything else.
Even from the Scriptures, everything flows.
That's right. And if you really want to understand today, even though at Mass there's a different Gospel reading, they could use this in the as a optional reading because it is the common of the Blessed Virgin Mary. But if you, all you have to do is go to John chapter 2. Mm-hmm. Just before you start anything else, go to John chapter 2. This is scriptural. There was a wedding at Cana, and in Galilee, the mother of Jesus was there. Okay. Now, here is one of those instances which is so beautiful because God appears to be, his mind can be changed. Now, it doesn't mean that God's mind changes, but God allows us, Jesus allows us in this episode. He's teaching us something very important because he allows this to happen. So they're at this wedding, and his mother is concerned because the guests, they've run out of wine.
She's paying attention.
She goes to her son. She knows about, this is her son, and son, they're out of wine. And he said, well, woman, what was my concern? This is not my time. And she just, as a good mother, knowing her son, just looks and said, do whatever he tells you to do.
The kickoff.
No. And so they bring me 20 jugs of wine. And he fill them up with water. And he changes that water. He said, scoop that out and take it to the head table. And they, of course, I'm paraphrasing all this, but take it to the head table. And they do. And it's the finest of wines. Yeah. He creates this great miracle occurs, and it's his mother in this episode, in this gospel, that is teaching us so much.
The intercessor. She intervenes.
And what's her message to us? Do whatever he tells you to do. Now, what does he tell us to do? He tells us to repent. He tells us to take this. This is my body that will be given up for you. This is, drink this cup. This is the cup of my blood. He tells us to do something. And Mary always, in apparitions throughout all of church history, anytime Mary's always telling us, she's telling us to pray. What does Jesus tell us to do? Pray. To repent. To go back to the sacraments.
To be obedient to the Lord.
That's right. All these things. Do whatever he's telling us to do. And so that message keeps coming through. You want to know about Marian devotion. And for those of you out there who are thinking, well, it takes away from, I don't need that. I have Jesus. Or it takes away, somehow I can divide my love. You can't divide love.
A true relationship with Mary will always bring us back to Jesus.
That's
always
right. Because you want to know the nature of God? God is love. That's scripture. That's John. All you got to do is read that. God is love. And all he does is multiply, like he did loaves and fishes. Like in the beginning, like all this week we've been hearing in Genesis, he creates and he gives and he creates and he gives and he gives more. And love cannot be divided. It only multiplies. Ask any mother who has her first child and then a second son on the way, and she thinks, how can I possibly love that child as much as I love the one I have now? And guess what? That child comes, and you just do. Love multiplies. And that's what. And so when we have Mary, it's not that God only makes it bigger. Our hearts only grow bigger. The only time it divides is when we turn away from God and we turn away from him. And that's the one thing Mary doesn't, she says, always go towards my mm-hmm. son. You can see that in the apostles at the with the Sanhedrin. They all divide. They all are scared. Fear gets into them and they all split. Mm-hmm. Well, that's not God. That's mm-hmm. fear. And who's the father of fear? It's the evil. It's the devil. But God only multiplies, brings us and unites, and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger.
So any true devotion to Mary will always, first of all, bring us to Jesus, mm-hmm. will form us in the image of Jesus, not in the image of Mary. Mary formed Jesus, though. She was the fully human, fully divine Jesus dwelt in her womb. And we have to remember that he was formed in her womb, and the God of all creation spent 30 quiet years with his mother.
That's right.
And in that time, you know, he grew up in wisdom and age, the end of chapter 2 in Luke. So we have a great awareness, just a common, it's just common sense that she formed him. She forms us. Her maternity, her spiritual motherhood continues through all of time because he reminded us at the last moment from the cross, behold, your mother, John 19. I mean, the importance of spending time in those places doesn't focus us on Mary. Mary continually focuses on, look, this is what it looks like to be my child. Mm-hmm. Do what he tells you. Follow him. Be a woman, a man of the word. Ponder that word, that beautiful image. And when pondering that word, then we go in haste with that word to others. So great formator. She's a great formator, helping us to be one with her son, Jesus. She forms in us through the power of the Holy Spirit, never doing it on her own, in her humanness. She's like us in everything but sin, but she also reveals to us, this is the most beautiful piece, she reveals to us what it looks like to be fully human, fully alive because of the Immaculate Conception. She was pre-redeemed, touched by the grace that we have access through our baptism.
And just remember, again, for all of our Protestant brothers and sisters out there, and for those Catholics who may not mm-hmm. be aware of this, and who have many conversions have occurred because Protestant theologians go back and look at church history and the teachings of the fathers. The Council of Ephesus, one of the first great councils of the church, talked about Mary being the mother of God, not about Mary being just the birth mother of mm-hmm. a human Jesus, but about being, because Jesus was fully man and fully God, that she is indeed the mother of God. And so, again, any Marian teaching always ultimately points us back mm-hmm. to Jesus. It mm-hmm. tells us something more about Jesus, or it tells us something about ourselves. Mm-hmm. Mary is a great window, all of those things. So when we begin to talk about Mary and we talk about Our Lady of Lourdes, especially today, just kind of ponder those things in your heart and be open to what, how God is going to reveal himself.
Absolutely. 728, we're here with Teresa Monahan from Pro Sanctity on this, the Feast of Our Lady of Lourdes. And it is Spirit Mornings with Bruce McGregor and
Chris McGregor.
Joined in studio today again by
Teresa Monahan
of Pro Sanctity.
Of Pro Sanctity, that's right.
Teresa of Elkhorn.
And I feel a prayer coming on.
All right.
All right, here we go.
Where's the coffee?
Way too close.
It's safe. Okay.
God of mercy, we celebrate the Feast of Mary, the sinless Mother of God. May her prayers help us to rise above our human weakness. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever.
Amen.
So the God of mercy, knew and of course knows and understands our needs, our human needs, created us human, created us in need of tangible expressions of his love, certainly sent his son, but via a beautiful vehicle, a woman. A woman born to give life, as women were born to give life, this particular woman the same. But this beautiful vehicle needed to be prepared. And so from all eternity, the God of mercy who loved us so unconditionally chose this beautiful lady to be the receptacle, but not of as if she didn't have anything to do with it. She was the human mother of the human and divine God, Jesus. She was Theotokos, the mother of God.
And today is a very, very special feast. Of course, it's the Feast of Our Lady of Lourdes. Mm-hmm. And for many of you who may not know the story, it is a absolutely beautiful, just a time of grace. Mm. It is some of older generations may be more familiar with the story because of a beautiful movie called The Song of Bernadette. It was actually based on a novel written by a Jewish man, Franz Werfel, who was who spent World War II hiding in essentially in Lourdes. And there he came to experience this just the after effects and what was occurring during that time. And he wrote the story. And the movie is absolutely a beautiful movie. I remember the first time I saw it, I cried. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, if at the end of my life, if I could just, like Bernadette, that's what I would love to see is the Blessed Virgin waiting to take you to her son. But there is one thing. I mean, Jennifer Jones in the movie, if you see it, she's so, well, first she's tall, but she's very, very
and Bernadette
pious.
Was very short.
Very, very pious, hands together, very almost docile to what was going on. But when you really get to read the accounts of Lourdes and you really get to know Bernadette, it's very different.
Yeah.
For those of you who may not be familiar, I'm just going to do a quick recap on the story. Bernadette is actually 4'6", and she's so tiny because she had rickets because of malnutrition and cholera. She was a sickly.
And asthma.
And asthma. She was very sick. And her family was so destitute because of the economy. Does that sound like that? I mean, just so poor that they ended up having to live in a discarded prison, a prison that was condemned, and the prisoners couldn't even live there anymore. They lived there. And she was someone who had to go out on the streets, essentially. They had to go find their wood out in the woods. They had to go try to find a way to survive. And sometimes when you see things on Bernadette, and again, I don't mean to demean the portrayal by Jennifer Jones, but Bernadette was actually kind of feisty. I mean, she, when the inquisitors were asking, one of the Monsignors was asking her, well, are you expecting me to believe that you're being visited by the Blessed Virgin Mary? And she said, no, I'm supposed to tell you what I saw. She wasn't, and when they arrested her and tried to get her to recant, she wasn't crying out of fear. She was kind of crying out of laughter because she thought, you're arresting me because I saw I saw a lady in the grotto. I mean, she had this beauty about her, of her soul. Well, she wasn't weak.
There was no guile about her. There wasn't. Right. She did not intend this to happen. She was just walking along, collecting wood, as you mentioned, for their fire at home, because they couldn't buy firewood. They didn't have their own firewood. She had to go out and find it in the woods. There was a little grotto there, and she heard one of the most beautiful things, like the Holy Spirit comes always in that small, still voice, or that breeze. She heard a rustling in the leaves. And then she looks up, and there's this beautiful lady, and she describes her dressed in a white robe, girded at the waist with a blue ribbon. She wore upon her head a white veil, which gave just a glimpse of her hair. Her feet were bare, but covered by the last folds of her robe, and a yellow rose was upon each of them. She held on her right arm a rosary of white beads and a chain of gold shining like two roses on her feet. And that's a description by Bernadette herself.
Yeah.
Again, Bernadette had no education. She couldn't read or write. She'd never talked to adults other than, in fact, in those days, you didn't talk to adults at all. You didn't have the language to talk to adults. But she described that so beautifully, so clearly. When she went to that little spot, she looked up, she saw Mary, she knelt, she began to pray the rosary. And at the end of the five decades, the beautiful woman who just smiled at her, she was the woman of another understanding of Our Lady, is that she was always smiling on her children. Well, Bernadette, you know, verifies that she smiled on her, and then she disappeared. And she had to return several times. I mean, talk about the persistence of this young woman. Again, uneducated, not expecting anything, not looking for an apparition, didn't even know what an apparition was, for God's sake. You know,
yeah.
She just didn't.
Yeah.
You know, this was not premeditated by anything. On February 18th, of that month that Our Lady began to appear to Bernadette, she began to give her just small, simple messages. And again, very in keeping with the gospel, began to invite her to do penance and prayer and conversion for sinners.
Now, what is that? That's Jesus.
Yeah, that's right.
That's Jesus. The first words he said in the gospel, repent.
That's right. That's all. In fact, nothing extraordinary about. And in fact, one of the things that is so striking, she just called her a lady, a beautiful mm-hmm. lady, a beautiful lady, mm-hmm. you know. But Mary gave her her name. And what was her name?
Immaculate Conception.
And in fact, that's something we have to think about. She never would have known those words. And she's, Our Lady said it to Mary, to Bernadette in her own natural dialect. It wasn't even French. Mm-hmm. It was done in a dialect. She said it in the dialect of her region there in France.
Yeah, it was a combination French-Spanish mm-hmm. type of thing. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't even formal French.
No. Mm-mm.
And just real quick, too, mm-hmm. That this grotto actually is was a place where they brought the pigs to defecate.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I mean, this was a
yuck.
Skanky little mm-hmm. area with this garbage area. And so for her at this time to be kneeling down mm-hmm. in the dirt, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, this mm-hmm. really, I mean, they could have picked a more glamorous spot, but yet she is called to here and now. Yeah. And it also, as a quick aside, again, a characteristic of God. Who does he choose? Yeah. When he comes, when God made man, who does he come to? He comes to a young girl in Nazareth, mm-hmm. with no special things. I mean, obvious to the world, no special qualities obvious to the mm-hmm. world, but he comes to her. And so in apparitions, that those who may not be familiar with apparitions, go back and look. Who does the Holy Spirit come to? He comes to all these mm-hmm. uneducated, primarily young girls mm-hmm. who have no major qualities to mm-hmm. the world, but yet are able to do extraordinary things through his grace.
And she had, Bernadette, to her credit, was very obedient. Mm-hmm. You know, she understood that deep awareness that this was a holy thing that was happening to her. And she kept returning. On February 24th, she was asked for the penance and prayer. On the 25th, the following day, the beautiful lady told Bernadette to dig into the ground. I mean, dirt, as you mentioned, mm-hmm. where the pigs were.
Yeah. Not just any kind of dirt.
And that she would find water, and she was to bathe herself. And in that water, you know, again, but there was water there. Mm-hmm. There was no water there when she started digging. The water started to come.
Do whatever he tells
you. To this day, mm-hmm. that water is there. To this day. And what does the water remind us of? Let's think of theologically for a moment. The water of renewal, the water of our
baptism.
Absolutely. Yep. And the Holy Father Pope Benedict highlights that as we celebrate today the World Day for the Sick that Pope John Paul II started. That water in Lourdes, the water is a symbol of our baptism where we are renewed and healed. Where we are renewed and healed. It's not the water. The Lord uses the water. That's one of the elements, the human, physical, tangible element that God uses to touch us, to heal us, to bring us back. But it's God's grace in that water. It's God's grace working through that tangible element.
Come to me, all you who thirst.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then on the March 2nd, Bernadette was instructed by the beautiful lady to tell the priest, and this is quoting, tell the priest that the people should come here in procession and that a chapel should be built on this site. On the Feast of the Annunciation, March 25th, the Blessed Virgin told Bernadette in her own dialect, I am the Immaculate Conception. And that was 2 years after Pius IX had declared the Immaculate Conception. And it was on December 8th, 1854. So this is 2 years later. This little uneducated, simple young lady who could not even speak a correct French understood what the Immaculate Conception was able to use those words when she was interrogated. And then she receives terrible interrogations and put downs and, you know, you must be crazy and all those sorts of things. But she just very simply stayed firm. People began to come, began to pray there. And in 1876, the Basilica at Lourdes was consecrated. Countless numbers of people began to come. At that point, what to me is probably one of the greatest signs of Bernadette's integrity, of her
of her lack of any personal interest. She just simply was being obedient. Was that in her discernment, she discovered that she should be a woman of prayer, and she joined the Notre Dame Sisters. And that was not easy either, because again, she was uneducated. She didn't have a dowry. You needed money to give. Mm-hmm. I mean, she had to collect. It was a great hardship on her family. But she wanted to retire to do what the beautiful lady had asked her to do, and that was to pray. And when she got there, the other movie, the one that was...
Passion of Bernadette.
Oh, it's excellent. And René Lauretin is a great Mariologist. He instructed the great... Even Pope John Paul II was instructed by René Lauretin. He said that this movie is very... very true to life, very true to the situation of Bernadette, and there's no, you know, embellishments on it. And the lack of embellishments show that she really just simply wanted to retire, to pray, and she says, "My work is done now. Wouldn't you like to go back to the grotto and see where your beautiful lady?" She says, "I would, but it's not my time. I'm not to go back."
And the thing about, again, when you look at, and I love the Song of Bernadette as it stands on its own, but Bernadette's almost a victim because people are telling her what to do, telling her, and she's just kind of relenting. Yeah. And there's even an implication in the movie that she wanted to have a relationship with this, you know, enter into marriage, which was never documented. Mm-hmm. There's no evidence of that. But yet it made, it romanticized the story a bit. But in reality, she made her choices. She knew. Mm-hmm. And you know what? Teresa, the thing that when I've learned so much about Lectio over the last year, just being entering into the Lectio meditation on this particular, what Our Lady was asking Bernadette to do, to have this a chapel built here, that as I was pondering, that the word chapel kept coming back to me. And every time when we have these apparitions, and there may be miracles occurring, Our Lady, like at Our Lady of Guadalupe, I want a basilica built here. It's not to honor her, because what happens in a chapel, what happens in a basilica, it's the celebration of the Eucharist. A greater miracle is here. Well, a greater thing is occurring that are bringing people. And yes, people come to Lourdes, and they are healed, but there's confessions going on. And people are on mass going to mass. I mean, they are brought to the Eucharist, and
the Eucharist is central to Lourdes.
Yeah, and it is to all the Marian apparitions. At Fatima, it's the same thing.
Who was the first chapel to hold the Eucharist, to hold Jesus? Who was the first chapel? Mary was. Mary was the first chapel. She was the first one where the Lord, in his real presence, you know, dwelt. So to continue her presence, she is the paradigm. She's the model of the church. When we look at Mary, we see the most beautiful basilica. We see St. Peter's. We see the most beautiful church, because in Mary dwelt Jesus. And what does the church do for us? Gives us Jesus. What does Mary do for us? She gives us Jesus. Invites us to the full stature of Jesus. Instructs us. Informs us. Forms us and sends us out. And then to come back on a regular basis. That's why Mary continues to mother us and continues to come back, because she wants us to grow to the full stature of her Son. She wants us to continue to go to Him, to find Him in her, in Mother Church. So beautiful.
And to do whatever He tells you to do. And the thing is, it's ultimately all these processions, whether you're at Guadalupe or you're at Lourdes or you're at Fatima, and so many that they're all processing to the Mass. Yeah. They're ultimately taking you to Jesus in the Eucharist, ultimately, because that's the place, this is my body. Do whatever He tells you to do. He's telling you to take this and eat it. He's telling you to take this and drink of it. This is my body. So that that grace can fill us as it filled her. And that we can have that sanctifying grace. That's the real miracle.
And some of the teachings that we receive, like, for example, here in Lourdes, where Bernadette is invited to pray the rosary, that's not something separate from the teaching of the gospel. Actually, that's a way to ponder the gospel. And Pope John Paul II really highlighted that the rosary is the gospel prayer, where we do just what Mary, she pondered in her heart the events. What do we do with the rosary? We slow down and we ponder, we pay attention to the events of Christ in His life and become part of that word and let that word dwell in us and then become that word for other people. The rosary is our vehicle Our Lady is the church. If we will stop to see, nothing points to Mary. Mary continually forms us to go out to be what her son was. Because we are one, body. We are her child. We are, each one of us is her child. And that's why Mary continues to be mother. Mm-hmm. Behold your mother. She's just doing what she was told. She's just doing what she was born for. You know, what she was prepared for.
Model of grace.
Model of grace. And continues to share that special spark, that special touch all through. If one author said, if we would count up the many, many times that Mary has appeared one way or the other, you know, we wouldn't have enough books to fill.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And her message is always consistent.
Yeah, it's consistent.
And it always matches her son. It calls us in Marian apparitions. Again, for those who are not familiar with apparitions, it's not, she's never bringing glory to herself. Mm-hmm. She's calling you, I keep going back to this, do whatever he tells you, because she's calling us to prayer, to fasting, to penance, to repent. Mm-hmm. Those are all the same messages that her son called us to do. And the miracles that occur are great. And Jesus had so many miracles. He healed the blind. He cured the, you know, the lame. He did all those things. But that's not what got him killed. Mm-hmm. That's not what got him convicted, because he had the audacity to forgive. Mm-hmm. And that's the healing that comes from that forgiveness, first and foremost. And that's what Mary wants us to find, is forgiveness.
And that's what she invites us to ponder. That's what she invites us to pay attention to. She is the woman who not only heard the word of God, but she was faithful to what she heard. She not only stood below the cross, but she continued faithfully. We find her in the upper room with the apostles. And we look at that and we see that she continued from that moment on to form us in the image of her son, to inform us by inviting us to ponder as she pondered. To pray the rosary is a simple method and simple way to bring us back to Jesus that we receive then in the Eucharist, that we become what we eat. We become the Word of God for others. So any devotion out there that would take us away from Jesus, of course, is not, you know, what we're talking about. We're only talking about those ways and means that have sprung up over the years from the very early church. To you, Mother, we have recourse was in the second century, the Subtuum. The early Christians turned to Mary to ask what every child will do. Mother, help us to live out our faith. Help us to draw closer to the true Savior. Help us to stay clear on our path so we don't get lost. Those are all our prayers. Hail Mary, full of grace, that she would help us in the hour of our death, that she would be there with us to keep us focused. Mm-hmm. This is the 151st anniversary of the apparition at Lourdes. And today, now it's already in the afternoon in Rome, but the Holy Father will spend time with the sick and the suffering, because he said that one of the most powerful pieces of Lourdes is that those baptismal waters heal both body and soul. The baptismal waters of Lourdes, our own baptismal waters, heal us fully. Because what were the effects of original sin? Suffering, sin, a need for healing. That's what the waters in Lourdes, that's what they're all about. They're not some magical, they're baptismal waters, he said. And he invites us, he said, what is relevant about Lourdes today? And I think that's a question. 151 years later, what do we ask? What is relevant about Lourdes today? And we have to admit that we are human and we are frail and we are in need of God. That's what Lourdes is all about. We ask at Lourdes and we ask at every Mass and we ask every time we pause to ponder the Word of God. We ask for the life of grace. She's the Mother of Grace, the life of grace, which in Mary's case was received at her Immaculate Conception. That God saw this woman long before in the understanding of eternity. The redemptive work of Jesus has no time frame. As Pope John Paul II used the term, she was pre-redeemed. She was touched by that grace, the same grace that we are touched by in our baptism. And for this reason, she is our mother. She is the mother because she is anyone special. She is special because she gave us Jesus. gave us grace, gave us the opportunity.
She said yes.
She said
when
yes.
When Eve said no.
That's right. She untied the knot. The early fathers say she untied the knot that kept us out of our heavenly homeland. She untied that knot. She opened that door. She let us in. You know.
And isn't it's so beautiful? Important, yes. And today, I mean, when we hear the story of Our Lady of Lourdes, I mean, do make your procession. Mm-hmm. Miracles happen all the time. Last Tuesday, I was at Daily Mass, and it was so great because the place was packed because everybody wanted to get their throats blessed. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah! People seeking healing and wanting to be able to touch heaven in a special way and have their throats blessed. Well, you know, but part of me, my dear brothers and sisters out there who made the effort, changed the schedules, got there to Mass, that encounter with heaven happens in an even greater way mm-hmm. when you go to the Eucharist. If that blessing of the throat brought you to church that day, got you into line, imagine a greater thing happens for you, a greater encounter in grace, a bigger blessing happens when you get in the communion line to go receive Jesus in the Eucharist. So I pray that, you know, wouldn't it be great if everybody, and I know, but it's a vehicle to get people there, and you're just hoping that
And the candles that we blessed the day before mm-hmm. and that then our throats are blessed with are the light of Christ. So they bring us, they open us, they help us to receive that gift of the Eucharist. We do need that light.
And then get back there the next day.
That's right. That's right. So in conclusion, what is Lourdes about? It is the prolonged miracle, the effects of the Paschal mystery, where our physical, moral, and spiritual weaknesses are touched by the saving grace of baptism. To bathe in the waters of Lourdes, to make the sign of the cross as we enter the church, to receive the gift of baptism is to return to our baptism and rise from sin to new life. Today is a day that we ask Our Lady's intercession, her help, to help us to do whatever He tells us, to find the renewal that we're called to be nothing less than saints. This is what holiness is all about, to live fully our baptismal gifts that we received. The new life, the new way, which is to walk in Mary's footsteps, who formed Jesus. So ultimately, to do whatever Jesus did and continue to do in our life. And we ask Our Lady of Lourdes intercession. Our Lady of Lourdes,
pray for us.
Amen.